Hey streamers, welcome to the Streaming Lab podcast. Jan here from the Streaming Lab newsletter on Friday, March 8th. Each episode, we are having a look at the latest headlines that are shaping streaming in Middle East, North Africa, and India. This episode is supported by Kling, a SaaS platform specializing in subscriber retention management for media and entertainment. Kling can predict churn risk for streaming services. They will tell if subscribers are potential churners, not engaged with content, affected by a poor UX, or with a credit card expiring soon. Many OTT platforms already use their technology to manage subscribers, keep them engaged, and increase their lifetime value, including the NFL, the Tennis Channel, the NHL, the Weather Channel, and in Middle East and North Africa, TOD, the streaming service of Bein Media Group in the region. You will find all the details you need about Kling on the podcast article available on thestreaminglab.com. I'm joined today by Vinit, also in Dubai. How are you doing, Vinit?
Yeah, it's International Women's Day. So happy and merry International Women's Day to all my women and women friends, my daughter, my wife, Jan, to your wife as well.
And I was happy to see also a lot of actions coming from the streaming universe about this special day. So yeah, happy to see that it's an important day for everyone and a lot of industries.
Yeah, and just going back to Kling, you know, I must say, Jan, that I have used Kling in a previous life when I was managing the Brightcove business in India. And at the time, Brightcove, Kling, and Oxido had a joint product, which was called OTT Flow. So it was, we used to market it as a Netflix in a box. So any broadcaster, content owner, platform that wanted to go to market with a video streaming service, a subscription management service, and a front-end partner, they would come to us. And I must say, just to add some more information and news, that in my experience selling software in the streaming and video space, Kling is a really, really easy to use software as well. So I think most of the customers who are looking at, you know, getting a subscription management system to manage churn, increase the lifetime value, get more intelligence, as well as manage all the payment gateways, will not find a more easier to use platform than Kling.
Thank you, Vinit. Very interesting. I'd like to tell to our listeners that I never asked Vinit to say this about Kling.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happened this week in streaming in MENA? GoPlay Market, the new platform from Ooredoo Group. Then the Iraqi Service 101 is now an SVOD super aggregator. And finally, for MENA, Ipsos announced the Ramadan edition of the Streaming 360 report. And for streaming in India, Kerala launches India's first state-owned OTT platform. Then Paramount in talks to sell its remaining stake in Viacom 18 to Jio. And finally, streaming growth in India also coming from outside the metros. A lot to talk today. It was difficult to select my topics. I don't know for you, Vinit, but a lot happened in the past week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was not easy to pick the right information.
Usually it's a good news, not only for us, but for the industry in general. Let's start with the first news about streaming in MENA, GoPlay Market, the new platform from Ooredoo Group. I'm sure you're already familiar, Vinit, with this telecommunication company, mm-hmm. founded in Doha, Qatar in 1987. And they are operating today across the Middle East, North Africa, and also Southeast Asia. So this platform is a pure OTT. They launched in six of Ooredoo Group's markets: Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Tunisia, Algeria, and the Maldives.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Ooredoo Telecom is not available in UAE, but we'll find a way to test the service very soon. What I would share today is a little bit more detail about what I read recently about the service. First of all, so signing ceremony happened during the Mobile World Congress 2024 in Barcelona, and Ooredoo announced the launch of the service with an OTT platform, Media Kind. I don't know if you know them, Vinit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So as I mentioned, it's a pure OTT. They target, of course, Ooredoo customers, but not only. They plan to reach non-Ooredoo subscribers within these markets. So on the one end, it's very interesting. We know that an OTT service is a way for telecom to target subscribers that are not their existing customers. But what I would have expected is for Ooredoo to launch this service not only on their group's markets, but also all over MENA. You know, it's a way also to target subscribers and customers outside of their own countries. I understand it makes sense maybe for the launch, but I would expect them to launch all over MENA, maybe in a different phase. So let's see.
Yeah, exactly.
The major countries when it comes to streaming penetration in the region with the highest potential are KSA, UAE, and Egypt.
So there's no Saudi, no UAE, right?
Let's see. Looks like the platform is only available on Android for now. So same, a little bit limited, but I assume they decided to launch not as a soft launch, but as a, with a limited number of devices. We can expect that this service will be available later on many devices and connected TVs.
Yeah, interesting. You know, maybe they also started Android first, Jan, because the markets they launched in, maybe, you know, like Tunisia, Algeria, Iraq. I wonder what the mobile penetration split is between iOS and Android.
Yeah, I can tell you. Most of the MENA markets are Android focused. Maybe UAE, you know, is a half-half.
Hmm.
But yeah, it makes sense. If they had to start with one OS, yes, Android is the right choice, definitely.
Yeah, and then I remember seeing on the tech side, the two partners they've announced, so obviously MediaKind, and they also talk about a collaboration with Microsoft, which is interesting. And I'll tell you why it's interesting, because if you know, this is public news, but Microsoft has said that they are retiring Azure Media Services. I'm just curious to, you know, to see what the, maybe Microsoft has something else up its sleeve. We'll find out.
True. Yeah. Always around in many industries.
Yeah.
Let's see. In terms of content, as I told you, I cannot access the service myself. But what I can tell you today, based on the articles I saw, is that content will be a mix of Hollywood movies and series, Arabic movies and series again, English, Arabic live TV channels like Al Jazeera, of course, CNBC, TRT, sports channels, Dubai TV, and much more. As expected for telecom, it looks like the content mix is a well balanced between different types of content, movies, TV series, TV channel. And I assume that, like most telecom companies, their target audience will be family oriented. So let's say a large audience. So let's see. Yeah, I'll tell you more as soon as I can play with this new platform. But it's a good news. Always great to see a new player coming to the market, and even better if it's coming from a telecom. We know that launching an OTT is not an easy task. It requires the team, the right partners. So I wish them the best with this launch. But it's a great news. Okay, let's move to streaming in India, starting with Kerala launches India's first state-owned OTT platform.
Outside of whatever is happening with Reliance and Star India, and you know, a lot of noise, a lot of news that happened last week. This, in my view, also was a game changer. I think it shows that streaming OTT is still alive and kicking in the country, in spite of a lot of consolidation that's expected. New OTT platforms are still being launched, which is great. So, the state of Kerala launched India's first state-owned OTT platform. It's available on Android and iOS. It's called Sea Space. And in fact, it was launched just a couple of days ago. And basically, it's a platform to be managed by the Kerala State Film Development Corporation, or KSFDC, which will feature award-winning films, short films, documentaries, and other content that has not had a wide theatrical release, but still has great artistic and cultural merit. So they're basically giving a platform to maybe smaller mid-sized movies and content, which is fantastic to see. I think the state itself is taking the onus on itself to promote this. And Yan, I have the upcoming newsletter again, talking about Kerala, where I do say this, but basically Kerala in this in India, Kerala has the highest literacy rate. It's close to 100%. So it's a very educated market. And the other thing which I've been hearing from a lot of my friends in Kerala, in Dubai and India, is that every Keralite or Malayali, right, better known as Malayali, or people who speak Malayalam as the language, you have a whole bunch of diaspora audience in the Gulf, in UAE also. The people who make it big outside, their dream is to go back to Kerala and make a movie. They all want to become a producer. That's how much they love their content and the cultural aspect. So people who have no experience in filmmaking or movies, they have money to spend. They want to become a producer in Kerala. So the affinity for content and movies is like next level. I'm sort of not surprised because there's so much content being produced from a seemingly smaller state. But what's really interesting, and here's the kicker, is that it's sort of like a creator economy driven platform where there's going to be a revenue share of the money that the platform makes with the director or producer of that particular piece of content.
Wow, that's a nice dream.
Yeah, very interesting model. I think something that maybe even Saudi and UAE and countries in the Middle East can actually get inspired from, especially as they start pushing projects like NEOM in Saudi and even the activities happening in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. But basically, so it's a pay-per-view model, not subscription, no ads. You come on the platform and you pay less than a dollar, so it's 75 rupees per movie. That's the big news from India.
Very interesting model. Is it the first time you see an OTT platform owned by a government entity, or you have others in mind? There are a couple in the region, in MENA. Like for example, Sharjah Broadcasting Authority, they launched Maraya. Ain also comes from Oman government, so it already happened in the region. I'm sure it will keep happening. But in India, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, India, it's a first. It's a first where the state, like this, I've seen like state-owned channels that will start their OTT. But here, actually, the state of Kerala is creating its own platform. So, no, it's in India, it's a first.
Second news for streaming in MENA. We mentioned this several times, but I would like to focus today on it. The Iraqi Service 101 is now a super SVOD aggregator. So, as you know, 101 is the OTT service of the giant broadcaster Al-Sharqiyya. They launched in 2023, exactly 1 year ago, March 2023. And in only 1 year, they managed to get an amazing user base of 2 million users. This is what they communicate. It's difficult to know exactly what does it mean, as It used to be an aviary service. So on the one hand, we could say that it's easy to get a large user base with aviary service, but it's never easy in the MENA region. So congrats to them. It's already amazing that almost starting from scratch, even if they come from a big broadcaster, but reaching this number is amazing. And they decided to not switch, but to expand to SVOD. So 101 is now a hybrid service. And what I wanted to talk to you today are the three partnerships they signed in the past 3 weeks, I would say, no, even less. So on February 22nd, they announced a partnership with OSN Plus. So most of OSN Plus content will be integrated into 101's subscription. Okay, that's one. Then second collaboration on February 26th, StarsPlay entered the game and decided to bring their premium content to 101 subscribers. That's it. So two major players in MENA deciding to offer their content to 101. And then on March 5th, so a few days ago, 101 announced that Rotana also will be part of a new partnership. So obviously content is a little bit different. Yeah, it will be a free-to-earn and paid channels. But honestly, OSN Plus, StarsPlay, Rotana, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. Nice one.
It looks like this partnership is only for Iraq, okay?
Great start.
So you know, most of those services and content providers, they are well-known. So, and most of their content is available throughout the MENA region. But it looks like targeting Iraq is not that easy for them. So that's why they accepted also to bring their content to a third-party platform. What's very interesting is that usually, you know, it's the opposite that's happening. Yeah. Smaller platform, niche platforms also, they decide to bring a selection of content to the major local platform that are OSN Plus, that are StarsPlay, that are Shahid. In this case, it's the opposite. The major local platforms decided to bring a selection of their content to the young, I would say, 101 that launched like 1 year ago. So it's, I think it's a big move, and I wasn't expecting it. So congrats to the team at 101. I talk to them on a regular basis. They acquired also the Streaming Lab Market Intelligence last year. And I see them at MIPTV, MIPCOM. They are very active, and it looks like they are building this service in a very smart way. So again, congrats to them. One more thing I would like to mention. So the pricing, so $5 per month. Not too bad. In Iraq. So let's see. Maybe it will be a little bit different in other regions. So SVOD is available all over MENA. But what I understood is that those partnership with OSN Plus, StarsPlay are available only in Iraq. So let's see. It will be a challenge also for them, like to bring a premium SVOD service outside of Iraq. So yeah, let's see. I will definitely track what they will be doing in 2024.
Do they have ads yet? Any advertising? Hybrid? No.
They used to be AVOD. So now it will become a hybrid.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Second news about streaming in India. Paramount in talks to sell its remaining stake in Viacom 18 to Jio.
It's all about Jio. Yeah, so this is, you know, Paramount, which is a parent company of CBS, MTV, owns a 13% stake in Jio Cinema's parent company, Viacom 18, which just announced a joint venture with Star India. And now it seems Paramount, as some of you are probably aware, is not struggling, maybe a too strong of a word, but, you know, it needs cash. So it's basically in talks. It's in talks with Jio for it to sell its 13% stake, reportedly for a pretty decent amount, so upwards of $500 million. They're saying that it needs that money to pay off its debt. in the US. I mean, I'm seeing this trend in India, Yan, that all the international guys, except for Netflix and Amazon, everyone else seems to be, focusing on home territory. It's also going to be interesting to see that now if these guys pull out, Jio becomes even bigger. So how does it impact the Competition Commission of India viewing this new JV, whether they say it is a monopoly or not? Let's see.
Another topic for a lot of newsletters and podcasts.
It's interesting that, Yan, I had this post out on LinkedIn, and I must mention this on this podcast about, there was this big Anant Ambani wedding, right? Where like everyone was watching it on Instagram, on following it, and they got all these celebrities and Bill Gates and Mark
What
Zuckerberg,
wedding?
and this Anant Ambani, the youngest heir
I'm joking.
of,
It was all. That's all about the news.
yeah. And I got backlash, man. I put it up on LinkedIn, and some people are saying that, oh, my blood is boiling, and so I'm not sure Jio invokes only good things in people's minds, as people don't like monopolies, let's put it that way. Is the sense I'm getting, but yeah.
You know, it depends where you what you want to see. Like on the one hand, it can be great. Like for the end user, you know, they have to subscribe or watch content on only one service. On the other hand, yes, they can decide whatever they want, increase the prices. So there are some risks, but I'm talking only about the streaming part of the business. I know it's much bigger, so maybe that's why you had some negative comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you for this news. Last one about streaming in MENA. Ipsos announced the Ramadan edition of the Streaming 360 report. So I'm very proud about this one because the news is not only about Ipsos, but also about the Streaming Lab. I joined forces with Ipsos. It's a partnership between the Streaming Lab and Ipsos, you know, that is the one of the largest global market research company.
Nice.
Thank you. They produce twice a year a report called Streaming 360. If you want information and insights about streaming MENA, especially the usages behind the streams, you need to get this report. I just want to tell the listeners what they can get on this report. So of course Ipsos data and then the Streaming Lab data. So it's a good mix between two companies, a mix of local and global mindset. So a few points. For example, if you are looking which hybrid platforms are currently active in MENA, you'll get this. What are the new Arabic series that have been launched this Ramadan? Same. So the report will be focused on Ramadan, of course. And we know that it's one of the most important time of the year for streaming services. Then the focus will be also about advertising. So what types of advertising formats are now available in the region? We know that this data is very difficult to find, so we'll bring it to you. Another data coming from Ipsos that is key. It's easy to get this data in the US, but in MENA, like impossible. What is the average number of platform subscription per person in 2024? A very interesting one. Then in terms of pricing also, you can learn how much do SVOD subscribers typically spend per month. And they got access to the data, you'll be surprised. And finally, how crucial is the availability of Arabic content today? We know that Arabic content is important in the MENA region, but we can see a lot of platforms that don't focus on it. They bring a lot of Western content, series, movies, a lot of content coming from India, Southeast Asia. Two, you need as a streamer to have an important content mix of Arabic titles. You'll have this the answer in this report.
Wow, comprehensive, comprehensive.
Yeah, honestly, that's impressive. And so yeah, I'll share with you more details in my next newsletter. So
Is a report already out?
not yet. So they usually what they do is that they announce it 2 weeks before starting producing it. You know what they do is that they will send questionnaire to panels in the several countries. So of course the main ones are UAE, KSA and Egypt, but also other ones in the region, and then they will gather the results, spend time working on them, and then the report will be out in April.
Nice.
Okay, last news coming from streaming in India, streaming growth in India also coming from outside the metros.
Yeah, so this is a government owned group which encourages which tracks the media entertainment industry in India. It's called FICCI, FICCI. And there's an event going on. I think it's over now, but it just got over yesterday, called FICCI Frames. And this year's FICCI Frames was named Reinvent, Navigating the Future of the Media and Entertainment Industry. And one of the top lines, one of the headlines was a panel discussion where Sushant Sriram, who's the country director of Prime Video India? He had some very interesting trends and information to share about not only Prime Video but also what's happening in terms of streaming growth in India. And I always like when someone like an Amazon Prime Video is talking about data, because they are the, you can argue, one of the largest data repositories for streaming across the world. So essentially, what he's saying is that for the first time this year, more as many people stream content in India as those that watch linear television. So for the first time, and India, people who've tracked India know that it's an interesting market because television is growing along with streaming. Because there's a lot of people in rural India who are still buying their first television set, and when you have the urban India, it's basically folks in Bombay and Delhi and Bangalore who are cord cutters, right? But so there's this conundrum where you have people in rural India who might be buying their first television, and then you have people in urban India where, for the most part, where they're cord cutting. But now, for the first time, the people streaming are at par with people who are watching linear television. So it's a watershed moment, inflection point, you can say. And then, as part of the data, he goes on to say that there's more growth coming from places outside of urban India, which means that tier two, tier three, tier four cities and towns are seeing more growth and adoption of streaming. So, and it's interesting because it's very difficult, like MENA in a way, but it's difficult to get data from across India, massive country, most populated country in the world. So you can imagine the challenges to get accurate data. So when Amazon is saying that they have track of this and they are showcasing this information and data, it sort of is something to watch out for. So yeah, it's very interesting that this data has come out. And then obviously on the same topic, he talks about Amazon Prime Video and its growth in the country and how they have subscription for Prime Video, including next day delivery, like everywhere else. However, they also have a concept of channels where you can do add-on subscriptions to other OTT platforms. So Prime Video is technically becoming a single source aggregator that we have spoken about earlier, but Prime Video is not spoken about as much. So he wanted to highlight that Prime Video also offers more than 10 partners as add-on subscriptions through its channels proposition. Now, this is something I didn't know. They also said that they have movie rentals for consumers.
It's a big part of their business. Like One of the main TVOD platform now.
Okay. Has it launched in the Middle East also?
Yeah, I think it's available. Yeah. Yeah,
Interesting.
no, you're right. We don't talk a lot about TVOD, but definitely it's still an interesting business for them.
Yeah, so he basically said that I'm next time I'm in Bombay, when I go back home to, I mean, go back to my other home in Mumbai, I will make sure I check it out. But he's saying that this is seeing tremendous uptake across the country, the movie rentals business. So Amazon's, this is again, I think the way they're doing it in India is pretty smart. It's something to learn from. So they pretty much have everything. So now they have subscription, which includes next day delivery. Then they have channels, which is aggregation. Then they have movie rentals, which is transaction video on demand. And then they also have a product in India called Mini TV, which is Amazon's free ad-supported service.
I didn't know about this one.
Yeah.
Is it fast or not?
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, they don't call it fast. It's on demand mostly. So they have all the models. So, I mean, the thing is, you sort of knew it and you sort of did not. But now when someone actually talks about it, you're like, oh, okay, they've covered all the bases. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Thank you, Vinny. Let's move to the recommendation of the week. I'll start with mine first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So today it's not like a recommendation of a specific title. I would like to pay tribute to the manga artist Akira Toriyama that just passed away yesterday. He was the creator
Ooh.
of the popular Dragon Ball series.
Wow. Sad news.
So yeah, sad news, 68 years old, so very young. And honestly, it's my childhood. I remember coming back from school to have lunch at home just to watch Dragon Ball and then going back to school again. Honestly, it's a legendary manga, Dragon Ball, and it definitely helped develop the brand awareness of manga artists and anime. From Japan to the rest of the world. So I tried to check where Dragon Ball, the main and the first series was available in the MENA region, but I couldn't find it. I checked on Shahid, I checked on Starzplay, Starzone, OCN Plus, even on Crunchyroll, it's not available. So I'll keep looking for it, but maybe there is a good opportunity here. I'm sure it doesn't come cheap.
Wow.
If I remember well, the rights are with Toei Animation, so a big studio. And yeah, I'll keep looking for it. If one of the local or international streamer listens to us, there is definitely an opportunity to showcase Dragon Ball in the region. Some of the movies are available on Shahid and Starzplay. But it looks like that's it.
Wow, interesting.
Vinit, what are your streaming recommendation of the week?
Yeah, so mine is actually a movie called 12th Fail. Very, very inspiring. One of the most inspiring movies. It's on Netflix, and it's actually a theatrical release which I missed. It's strange, I haven't seen of late, over the last, let's say, 1 year or so, I've barely seen any Bollywood movies in the theater. Maybe I need to change that. But I usually wait for it to come on, Netflix or Prime Video or some other platform. But so this one I'd missed. It was it's one of the most critically acclaimed Bollywood movies of late. Very simple story based on a true life of this gentleman called Manoj Kumar Sharma, who really overcomes so many adversities in his life to become a Indian police service officer. And to do that, he actually has to clear one of the most competitive exams in India, which is the UPSC. UPSC stands for the Union Public Service Commission exams. You have like millions of people trying to clear this, and very few slots are open. And he actually fails three times. But he keeps going, and the fourth time obviously he succeeds, and then it's his story and how he how love and his person he falls in love with also keeps egging him on to go and succeed and keep trying again and again. It's extremely inspiring. So the message is never ever give up, blah blah blah. But it's a nice movie. 2.5 hours, made by an award-winning director, Vidhu Vinod Chopra. So I would highly, it's got subtitles and everything, and very, it's a fun watch, emotional, but great message.
Nice. Thanks for this recommendation, Vinit. And that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks for joining us on the Streaming Lab podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Streaming Lab for more insights at thestreaminglab.com. Until next week, and don't forget, keep streaming. Bye bye.
See you later, guys.